بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson, we'll continue inshaAllah explaining the creed of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, this prominent scholar who was amongst the predecessors, as-Salaf, those who lived in the first 300 years after the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're up to statement 27. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said, what means, we believe that Muhammad is his chosen slave, his elect prophet, and his accepted messenger. Meaning the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal for prophethood. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Abdul Muttalib, who is the son of Hashim, who is the son of Abd Manaf from the tribe of Quraysh. And that was the noblest tribe at that time. The Prophet was born in Mecca. He lived in Mecca after receiving the revelation for about 13 years. The Prophet received the revelation at the age of 40. Then after about 13 years, he immigrated to Medina. He stayed there for about 10 years, after which he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation at the age of 40 as the prophet and the messenger of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen by Allah to be his prophet and his messenger. Not only a prophet, also a messenger. Now, what's the difference between a prophet and a messenger? There is a difference, in fact, between these two terms. A prophet is a man who receives the revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal and conveys it to the people. The messenger is a prophet that comes with a new sharia. That's the messenger. So he is a prophet, plus he receives a new sharia, a new law. Sometimes he abrogated some of the previous rules. What was forbidden in the previous sharia, in his sharia, becomes allowed, permissible. What was permitted becomes forbidden. That means he has come to people with a new set of laws, new sharia. It's different from the one that the previous messenger received. So when a prophet receives a new set of laws different from the previous messenger, we say this is a prophet and a messenger. They both convey the revelation to people. But one would be conveying some new rules different from those received by the previous messenger. And that's when we call this prophet a messenger. As a conclusion, we can say that every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. In the hadith of Abi Dharr, which is narrated by Ibn Hibban, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many were of the prophets? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 124,000. So 124,000 prophets. Then Abu Dharr asked him, how many messengers were among them? Because all of them are prophets, but not all of them are messengers. So how many messengers were among them? And the Prophet said 313. Then he asked the Prophet, who was the first one? And the Prophet said, Adam. Then Abu Dharr asked, was he a prophet and a messenger? And the Prophet said, yes, he was. So Adam was the first prophet and the first messenger. Why he is the first messenger? Because there was no prophet before him, no messenger before him. So the set of laws that he received through the revelation ascertained that he must be a messenger, because he wasn't preceded by any prophet or messenger. So he was a prophet and a messenger. The last of the prophets and messengers is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's also a prophet and a messenger. I'll give you one example. At the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, they used to pray twice a day. Only two prayers throughout day and night, every day. Allah revealed to the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it is obligatory upon him and his nation to pray five times a day. So that's a difference in the laws, in the Sharia. So the Prophet Muhammad received a new Sharia, different from the one that was revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, who was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here we say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a messenger as well. About Prophet Isa alayhi salam, same. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he's saying, وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, meaning I have come to you with a new set of rules to make it permissible some of the rules that were forbidden upon you. So he came with something different. What was forbidden, now it has become permissible. So we call Prophet Isa alayhi salam what? A prophet and a messenger. So that's the difference between them. It's a big mistake what some writers mentioned in some books when they say the difference between a prophet and a messenger. They say a messenger is the one who receives the revelation and is obligated to convey it. However, a prophet is the one who receives revelation, but he doesn't convey it. This is a big mistake. They mention it in some books. Now, common sense, you would say, how would Allah send a prophet if he's not obligated and ordered to convey the message to people? So would that mean that Allah sent him for himself? So this is a big mistake to say that a prophet is the one who receives revelation but is not ordered to convey it. If he's not ordered to convey it, that means he's sent to himself. And this is not accepted. The proper definition is what the scholars like Imam Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi in his book Al-Farq Bayn al-Farq, the difference between the sects, he mentioned in his book the difference between the Prophet and the Messenger, and he mentioned what we mentioned now, that the Prophet is the one who conveys the rules that were revealed to the previous Messenger. He doesn't come to people with a new set of rules, but the Messenger is the one who receives the revelation of a new set of rules and he conveys these rules to people. That's the difference between them. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen for prophethood. And we learn from this, and also he said he was elected as a prophet. Chosen and elected, the same meaning, very close. And he is the accepted messenger. That means, and what he meant by this, prophethood is not obtainable by people. You cannot become a prophet. Even if you work very hard for the hereafter, if you pray at night every day, if you fast every day, you cannot become a prophet. Prophethood is not attainable, obtainable, achievable by hard work. It's not like this. Rather, prophethood is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah willed for some to be prophets and Allah chose some to be prophets. So they will be raised until they start receiving the revelation. It's something that has been predestined for them to be prophets. Even they don't choose for themselves to be prophets or not to be prophets. Allah chooses them for prophethood. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the cave of Hira when he first received the revelation. Angel Jibreel came down to him and said to him, "Iqra." قال ما أنا بقارئ قال اقرأ قال ما أنا بقارئ قال اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These were the first five verses revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't expecting the angel to descend and give him the revelation. He was chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal. So here we learn from this that even if you work very hard, you cannot become a prophet. You can become a righteous Muslim. Righteous Wali, we call him in Arabic. You can become a righteous Muslim, but you cannot become a prophet. Prophethood is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whomever He willed for it. He said, we believe that he is the last of the prophets, the greatest example of the God-fearing ones, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master of the messengers, and the most accepted one to the Lord of the worlds. First of all, we have in this statement many terms that we have to explain them. First, he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last of the prophets. We must believe that he is the seal of the prophets. He is the seal of the prophet. Although we believe that before the day of judgment, Prophet Isa alaihi salam, Jesus will descend to earth. However, he's not a new prophet, because Prophet Isa received prophethood before he was raised to the sky. So he was on earth and he received prophethood. He was a messenger. He called people to Islam, stayed calling them for a period of time. Then when some of the non-believers planned to kill him, plotted to kill him, Allah Azza wa Jal raised him to the sky alive and awake. So he wasn't crucified or killed. He will descend to earth before the day of judgment, and that's from the signs of the day of judgment, the major signs of the day of judgment. But he's not a new prophet. Even it was mentioned that when he descends to earth, he will practice the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he won't be praying twice a day, as was revealed to him when he was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on earth. No, he will pray five times a day. He will practice the rules revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's not a new prophet. And anyone who claims prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a blasphemer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that the day of judgment will not occur until 30 liars will emerge. Every one of them will claim that he is a prophet, the last of whom is the one-eyed imposter, Al-A'war al-Dajjal. That's the last of them. So 30 people will claim prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last of them is al-Dajjal. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two claimed prophethood when the Prophet was alive. One is Musaylim al-Kazzab, the other is Al-Aswad al-Ansi. Musaylim al-Kazzab, even he tried to imitate the Quran, because they told him, the Prophet is telling people Quran. He said, I receive revelation as well. And he made up some statements that the eloquent Arabs were able to realize its weakness. Very weak expressions he used. They know he's a liar. And the Prophet called him the liar. Even he sent the Prophet a message. And he said, from Musaylima, the messenger of God, to Muhammad, the messenger of God, let's split the earth between both of us. You take half, we take half. And the Prophet wrote him back. He asked someone to write him, from Muhammad, the messenger of God, to Musaylima, the liar. The Prophet called him the liar, and from then he was called Musaylim al-Kazzab. Two at the time of the Prophet claimed prophethood. Then after that, many. So people will claim prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everyone who claims prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an unbeliever, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last of all prophets. He is the seal of all the prophets. Also, he is the greatest example of the God-fearing ones. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi inni la'alamukum billah wa akhshakum lahu." Meaning, I'm the most knowledgeable amongst you, and I'm the most God-fearing one amongst you. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example of the God-fearing ones. He is also the master of the messengers, as he said in the hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ana sayyidun nas yawm al-qiyamah." I'm the master of people on the day of judgment. And he is Habibullah. He's the one who said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَنَا حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ وَلَا فَخَرٌ. Meaning, I'm not saying this out of pride and vanity. Rather, I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for choosing me to be the most accepted one by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every claim of prophethood after his is false and reveals corrupt inclinations. Anyone who claims prophethood after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a blasphemer. Because Allah mentioned that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of all the prophets and messengers. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that clearly by saying, La nabiyya ba'di, there is no prophet after me. In another narration by Al-Bukhari, Wa ana al-aqib alladhi laysa ba'dahu nabi, meaning there is no prophet after me. So that's one of the names of the Prophet, Al-Aqib. It means there is no prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the whole nation agreed unanimously that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of all the prophets. So anyone who claims that he is a prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a non-believer. The difference between our prophet and the previous prophets is that the previous prophets used to be sent to a particular people, particular tribe, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah sent Prophet Hud to the tribe of Ad, Prophet Saleh to the tribe of Thamud, Prophet Lut to his tribe, Prophet Nuh to his tribe. So a prophet used to be sent to a particular group of people known as a tribe living in a certain area, and he will stay with them, calling them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi mentioned, he's the one sent to all the jinn and humans with truth, guidance, enlightenment, and illumination. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet and the messenger to all humans and to all jinn. Jibreel alayhi salam used to descend to a prophet and tell him, you are the prophet of Allah to those people. So he would specify for him. That doesn't mean he doesn't call others whom he might meet on his way to Islam. No, he would call anyone he would meet to Islam. As we do that, wherever we go, if we find someone and we are talking to him, we might call him to follow the religion of Islam. So we might do this. This is the da'wah. But what is meant in the hadith is that what is named for him in particular, specifically, is that tribe. So Jibreel will tell him, you are the messenger of God to those people. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent to all human beings, all over the world, Arabs and non-Arabs. Those who were in the Middle East and those who were in the Far East and Far West and Far North and Far South. Now some ignorant people might come to you and say, why should we follow your prophet? And your prophet speaks Arabic. He's one of the Arabs. We don't speak Arabic. We speak English. We speak French. We speak Italian. So Muhammad is not sent to us. They might say that to you. Because we don't speak Arabic. Tell him, tell this person, you claim to be following Jesus. Jesus didn't speak English, didn't speak French, didn't speak Italian. He spoke the Assyriac language. Tell me who can speak Assyriac language now. There are very few on earth who speak this language. So if according to your claim, if that prophet doesn't talk your language, that means he's not for you as you claim. That means Jesus is not for you as well. So they have no answer when you say that to them. Prophet Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah to all human beings, whether they speak Arabic or they don't speak Arabic, whatever language they speak. He's the messenger of Allah to all humans and all jinn as well, even the jinn. This is something specific for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said in the Quran, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. They also said to each other, أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ. Accept his claim. Follow him. Also Allah Ta'ala said, in a surah that is called Al-Jinn, there is a chapter, surah in the Quran called Al-Jinn. It starts as, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. A group of jinn came to the Prophet, heard the Quran from the Prophet, and they believed in the Prophet. And they went to their people, to their jinn, and they told them, follow this Prophet. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the da'wah, but he didn't see them. He went outside the outskirts of Medina to a place where he sat. He didn't see them. He saw the traces and he gave them the da'wah and they accepted his da'wah. They embraced Islam because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every one of us cannot see the jinn in the original form. As Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Iblis and his followers amongst the jinn, his offspring, descendants, they see you, but you don't see them. We don't see the jinn. We believe in their presence, in their existence, that they are present, they are existent, but we don't see them. Some people might see them in a different form or shape, not in the original form and shape, like the companion that was coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he met one of the devils amongst the jinn on his way. And he had a conversation with him. And that companion asked the devil, what would protect us from you? And that devil answered, Ayatul Kursi. This ayah, Ayatul Kursi, will protect you. That companion continued his way to the Prophet and he told him that on my way to you, I met a devil. I asked him what would protect us from you. And the devil said, Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet said, Sadaq al-Khabith. That wicked, evil creature was right in what he said. So he was right in what he said about Ayat al-Kursi. It's a protection for us from the jinn. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah to all humans and jinn. Not to a specific people, not only to the Arabs and the non-Arabs. To those who speak Arabic and those who do not speak Arabic, even to the jinn, as Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. To all humans and all jinn. And that's something specific for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supported with miracles to show that he is truly the messenger of Allah. Allah gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best miracles, the greatest miracles that the prophets and messengers before him didn't receive something that is greater. For instance, a person might say, and this question was asked to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu once, when he mentioned that out of all the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the greatest miracles. Then one asks him by saying, what about Prophet Isa alayhi salam? He used to make supplication, and by the will of Allah, the dead will be quickened, meaning brought back to life. So he used to bring them back to life by making supplication. Imam al-Shafi'i answered that Allah Azza wa Jal supported his Prophet with the mourning of the dead palm tree. And that is greater. Because that dead person was alive. Now by him making supplication, the soul came back to his body. But the trunk of the dead palm tree, something that doesn't have a soul, something that is not alive, something that doesn't have a feeling. So when the Prophet used to lean on it when giving the speech, and then they ask him if he would be wishing to have a pulpit, say he would make the khutbah while standing on it, he said, do it if you'd like. They made one for him. The Prophet went up, he started the speech as usual. People in the mosque heard mourning and creeping of it's like a little boy crying. A voice of a little boy crying. They chased the source and they found out that the trunk of the dead palm tree was crying and mourning. The Prophet came down and gave it a hug until it settled. This is greater than the miracle that was given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam when he made supplication and by the will of Allah the dead was brought back to life. One of the poets said, إن كان موسى سقى الأسباط من حجر فإن في الكف معنى ليس في الحجر إن كان عيسى برى الأعمى بدعوته فكم براحته قد رد من بصري. When a blind person would come to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa would supplicate Allah so that person can be cured and his blindness would be cured. So he used to cure those born blind. And that was a critical condition at that time, that the doctors of the time wouldn't be able to help the one who was born blind. Prophet Isa used to make supplication and by the will of Allah that blind person would be cured. But what happened with Prophet Muhammad is greater. In the battle of Badr, Qatada ibn Nu'man, one of the companions, was hit with a sword on his eye. His eye was rooted out. It dangled on his cheek, so suspended with few veins. There is no way to put it back for him, so they wanted to cut it out. Then they said, well, ask the Prophet. The Prophet said, don't do it. Bring him to me. He came with his eye dangled on his cheek. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gently pushed it by his palm into its place and wiped on it. It returned back as it was, and even better and stronger. Qatada himself said to people, after that, I was unable to identify which eye was hit. He wouldn't see a trace. Now, if they make an operation, you can see trace for stitches. He said, I wouldn't be able to recognize which one was hit. This is greater. In kana Musa saqal asbata min hajarin. When they wanted water, he had the staff, he hit the rock, and by the power of Allah, 12 springs gushed out of the rock. But it is common that sometimes you would go to the mountain and you see the water gushing out of the rocks. That was a miracle. So he hit that rock with the staff and the water gushed out 12 springs. But with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came to him during the battle of Al-Hudaybiyah. And the Prophet had a small container and he was about to make wudu using that little water inside this small container. Then they came to him. He said, "What's the matter?" They said, "O Messenger of Allah, we don't have any water left so we can drink from it or make wudu except what you have between your hands, this little amount." Now here what happened? The Prophet ﷺ placed his honorable hands in that container and pure water started gushing out between his fingers. And they started filling the containers. They drank, they made wudu, and they filled the containers. They asked one of the Sahaba who was present, "How many were you at that time?" He said, "I swear to God, if we were 100,000, that water would be enough for all of us. But we were 1,500. Jabir said, "I swear to God, I was looking at the water gushing out between the flesh and the bones and the blood, but it's not mixed with blood, pure water. This is greater than the miracle that was given to Prophet Musa alayhi salam." So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was supported by all these miracles. And this incident is reported by at-tawatur. You know what at-tawatur means? At-tawatur means a large number of people witnessed the incident. Then they conveyed this to another large number of people and so on. So it's confirmed by at-tawatur. No one can deny at-tawatur because it is confirmed. It's like someone who would say to you, "There is no country called China." Then you say to him, "Yes, there is." He would say, "Did you see it?" "No, I didn't see it." "But how could you confirm that there is a country called China?" This is by at-tawatur, when a large number of people went to that country and they told a large number of people, it becomes necessary to believe in such a thing. Same with these miracles that were witnessed by a large number of people and conveyed to a large number of people as well. Not only that, there is a miracle that is still running and active till now, which is Al-Quran. Allah challenged the eloquent Arabs, the poets, at that time to come up with something like the Quran. They were unable to. Allah challenged them to come up with 10 surahs similar to the ones in the Quran. They were unable. Then Allah challenged them to come up with one surah similar to that mentioned in the Quran. One surah. The shortest is Al-Kawthar. "Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar." 3 verses. From that time up to now, the challenge is still on. So the most eloquent at that time were unable to come up with something like the Quran. Not even one surah. And this challenge is still active up to now until the day for judgment. This is a miracle. And this is the greatest miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even subhanAllah, when you recite Al-Quran, you feel more thirsty, you want to recite more. You repeat the surah how many times a day? Al-Fatiha, how many times do you read Al-Fatiha? Minimum 17 times in 17 rak'ahs in a day, minimum. So if you pray sunnah and you are making up prayers as well, you recite Al-Fatiha more. If you are in a gathering and they say Al-Fatiha, you recite it, you never feel bored from reciting the Quran. But if you read a story, fairy tale, you read it once, twice, then you get bored. You leave it on the shelf. You never get back to it. You don't like to read it. The Quran, you like to memorize it. You enjoy reciting. There is a secret in the Quran. We don't say, it's hard to memorize the Quran. No, it's not. It's easy. Don't say it's hard. It's easy. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. So it's easy. That's why you find little ones who memorize the whole Quran. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal for making us amongst the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the ones in this nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.